escalating violence in front to the international community, a threat to regional security, and a grave violation of universal human rights.
About the prospect of arming those Syrians opposed to their government, an excellent idea, so says the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia. Others meeting in Tunisia disagree, pledging only humanitarian support. Tunisian Foreign Affairs Minister Rafik Abdesalam.
The aim and the goal is to achieve a political solution to the Syrian crisis that paved the way for the Syrian people to achieve their goals in democracy reforms.
Red Cross now confirms successful evacuation of some people from Homs. Another day of violent reaction in Afghanistan. This to the burning of copies of the Quran by U.S. military. Today, an appeal from President Hamid Karzai and reaction to that from White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
The president is certainly gratified that President Karzai has appealed for calm in Afghanistan. As we work through what is a very challenging situation.
12 killed in protests there today. Refinishing your bathtub can be deadly. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
Federal health officials have identified 10 products containing at least 60% methylene chloride and say they're linked to the deaths of 13 people who've been doing bathtub refinishing. The chemical's highly volatile and toxic and is commonly used as a degreaser and paint remover. The CDC recommends other methods for stripping bathtubs, such as sanding or chemicals, including acetate or mineral spirits, instead of a methylene chloride agent.
For many airlines, Chicago is a main hub.
When there's bad weather in Chicago, that causes problems for flyers all around the country.
Flight 600 has been canceled.
I'm sorry, that flight's been canceled.
A winter storm has prompted airlines to cancel hundreds of flights into and out of Chicago. Daniel Baker, CEO of FlightAware.com.
It's going to be very tight. I'd recommend that people keep an eye on their flight availability and make changes online. All the airlines are offering fee-free changes to anyone who is supposed to travel yesterday or today.
Chicago's such an important hub that trouble there means trouble throughout the system. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Sales of new U.S. homes dipping just under 1%, but the government says the final quarter of 2011 stronger than first estimated. From Patrick Newport, economist with Global Insights.
The market is getting better, and that's good news because the market has been flat at the bottom for over 2 years, so we're starting to see some life in the housing market.
Right now, the Dow is down 20 points, 12,964. NASDAQ's up 3. This is CBS News.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome. A reason to go to the Tool Mega Sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tool storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale starting this Friday only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman, trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
You know, it's worse than a sick kid being home with a sick kid. They're whiny, they're miserable, and when you need to take a temperature, forget it. Bedlam. That's why you need the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the greatest gadget for taking temperatures. Just one swipe over the forehead and you're done. You get a clear, accurate read with no fuss, and you can even take it while they're sleeping. The medical profession has been using the Exergen Scanner for years. If it's good enough for them, you know it's worth every penny and great value for the money. The Exergen Temporal Scanner. Changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Rite Aid and other fine retailers.
Confrontation in Jerusalem. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger, he's there.
Israeli riot police moved into the Mosque of Al-Aqsa compound in Jerusalem's Old City to confront hundreds of Palestinian stone throwers at the site Jews call the Temple Mount. Police used stun grenades to disperse the protesters. The riot erupted after an Israeli group called the Temple Mount Faithful called on Jews to visit the holy place. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
There's a brand new bridge in Bratislava, Slovakia. It spans the Morava River, crossing the border into Austria. The local Slovaks are holding a vote to determine what to name that bridge. Maria Theresa, long time ago Austrian empress, running a distant second to Chuck Norris. Inexplicably, the 1980s action film and TV star is leading the vote by an overwhelming margin. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
Is your home in need of a makeover? Now's your chance to be one of four homeowners to win Lowe's gift cards totaling $100,000 for the My Lowe's Home Makeover Sweepstakes. Enter today at facebook.com/Lowe's. And with spring right around the corner, save 20% on the Scotts fertilizer you need now, plus what you'll need next when you buy both bags. Lowe's, never stop improving. Scotts offer valid through 3/19/12. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Sweepstakes ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern on 2/28/12. No purchase necessary, subject to official rules at facebook.com/Lowe's.
Friday. So guess what's going on there? We got Wendy Edson coming in, along with Jim D. And then in a few minutes, we have Karen Buehler.
Now, here's Bill Binica.
I got nervous trying to get out. We got so many people coming in. So Wendy will be here to talk about the film festival. Jim will be here to talk about the Palm Theater. And, of course, Karen Buehler will be in here to talk about what's going on calculusnews.com throughout the week. I thank you for joining me. I hope your day is going good. It's supposed to be another pretty day today. Temps in the mid-70s here and there, and then 60s along the coast. They're just really nice. All right. Speaking of the coast, you know how a lot of people like lobster? They just hauled in a 27-pounder. So a whole lot of people can have a whole little lobster all at once.
This is Tarkus G. With Bill Benica, the Friends and Neighbors Network.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
There you go right there. It's 12:08 right now, and let's find out what's going on at this lunchtime, our flashback and history record of the Tribune. Our highlight on February 24th in 1942, the SS Struma, a charter ship attempting to carry Jewish refugees from Romania to Palestine during World War II, was torpedoed and sunk by a Soviet sub after being towed and abandoned in the Black Sea by Turkish authorities. All but one of the 769 refugees on board perished. And this day in 1582, Pope Gregory the 13th issued a papal bull or edict outlining his calendar reforms, which we're still enjoying today. In 1961, the Federal Communications Commission authorized the nation's first full-scale trial of pay television in Hartford, Connecticut. In 1992, Nirvana lead singer Kurt Cobain married Hole leader vocalist Courtney Love in Hawaii, the love that wasn't to last. Our birthday today, Senator Joseph Lieberman is 70, actor Edward James Olmos is 65, rock musician singer George Thorogood is 62, actor Mark Moses is 54, actor Billy Zane is 46, and actor Wilson Bethel is 28. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers?
Coastal Computers is here for the small business. The small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite. ccslo.com. Coastal Computers. Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. And you're saying to yourself, Bill, why does that take so long from the time that Karen Vealey shows up to the time that she starts to talk? And it's because I got to adjust her pillow. I got to get her water. You know, it's a, yeah, Lord, it's, you know.
We've gone up to Perrier now.
We've moved up to Perrier, too. So she's hard to please, I'll tell you that. So there's some other foreign water next week that she demands. Hi, Karen. Nice to see you.
Hi.
We have 1340KYNS, and we have calcosnews.com, and we get together. I, of course, do headlines and stories during the week right after we start, and then Karen and I get together on Fridays, and we talk about what's been going on during the week. We also talk about things that are just generally bizarre. I was thinking that, you know, myself, as a matter of fact, today when I was driving here to work, I thought to myself, you know when Art Linkletter had the program, Kids Say the Darndest Things?
Yeah.
You should have a section, People Do the Darndest Things, and just call it that and say, you know, why would anyone do this? But that would be most of the stuff you do anyway. So it's like, it's calcosnews.com is fine. Let's talk about let's begin. You know, I think we need to, how do you want to say this? I think we need to attest to the fact that you have no personal axe to grind with Lisa Solomon in Paso Robles. Is that correct?
I've never met her.
Okay.
In fact, I saw her the first time in person at that meeting a couple Tuesdays ago. I've never met her in person.
You've never talked to her?
I've talked to her on the phone doing questions, but we usually do them via email. She doesn't like to do vocal interviews.
All right, let's revisit something here so we understand something. This whole thing when the Paso Robles Police Department thing started coming into public focus and people came forward and were complaining, and now apparently there's going to be other people come forward. This again started 2 years ago. You know, this is 2 years old in the making or longer, and so that's when you first started looking into it, and so I think it's really important that people kind of understand that this is an axe to grind type of a situation. It's just there's a lot of stuff that's going on in one department that seems to be a little bit weird.
And you know, this is something that happens in news that I find very strange anymore. When people say, well, why aren't you being even with all the different chiefs of police, or why aren't you being even by all the developers? Or why aren't you being even? When I used to write about Kelly Gearhart, I was told, well, why can't you mix it up? Well, you know, everybody isn't doing the same things. The only one I found doing the things that Kelly Gearhart was doing back in 06, 07, 08 was Kelly Gearhart. And that doesn't mean that everybody else that walks around that has built a house is a criminal. And usually when you have someone that is doing things that are questionable, there's more comes out as you write about them, and that's why very often there is a focus more on someone like Kelly Gearhart or State Financial, some of the people that Cal Coast News has written about over the years.
Or Paso Robles Police Department.
Yeah, and we've been writing about it for, you know, there's been a number of things, but there is so much going on with the Paso Robles PD that's been going on for a very long time, and the amount of people aware of it in the county is very large. I've talked to two other chiefs that knew about it. I've talked to numerous officers throughout the county that have said, I can't believe that this didn't become public years ago. They even brought up problems when she was in the police academy.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. They one of the people, of course, that's been very vocal about is Gary Nemeth, and he was on the city council for a number of years there. And I don't know Gary well, but I knew Gary. And so, you know, people say he's just sour grapes because he didn't win the mayoral election. My impression of him when he's a city council person, as most city councilmen that I have encountered as councilwomen, are very concerned about their city. I mean, I honestly admire them for it, and they put up with a lot of, you know, gruff for, you know, what they say and think. And so, I mean, I don't think it's wrong for Gary to step forward and say, well, you know, I see some other problems here. I was a cop for 30 years. So it seems logical. Then we had a new opinion piece today by Walter Herr. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Okay, it's H-E-E-R. We don't want to mispronounce it, Mr. Herr. But, so anyway, but he was writing, and it says here, blindly support Paso Robles or else. And he's getting this thing again about, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, this Gary Nemeth was supposed to get an award, and it's been pushed back. And now there's a letter to the editor today in the Tribune, and I'm going to mention your competition. And they're saying, okay, I mention mine all the time. There's this situation going on. And so it's newsworthy. It's stuff that, you know, the city of Paso Robles all of a sudden has become the odd dog.
And I've told you before, you know, it used to be Morro Bay and Pismo Beach, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Never heard a thing about Paso Robles. Now, all of a sudden, Paso Robles decided, okay, we need some attention up here, something, because we're going to do crazy things, and you know, Karen Vealey's going to find out about them. And that's kind of really what's going on, you know. I think it does happen. I think it tends to happen city to city, you know, that just as people rotate through councils and people make decisions and different people are appointed different things, you know, that different things happen in different cities.
Absolutely, and again, back to the Kelly Gearhart. When you find corruption when you find something that looks like there appears to be corruption, and you keep looking into it, well, then more people call, more information comes out, and more stories come out. And then there's usually then the trying, for example, the story we put about Paso Robles up that's current, is that this came out because of allegations against her. One of the claims that they were making is crime is down under my watch. It's down 11%. And as soon as I heard that, you know, I had talked to several people. Mike Brenner had called me and said, that's ridiculous. A couple of the police officers called me and said, that's not true. You can just go to the FBI website. I went to the FBI website. It did not match her numbers. I sent an email to Lisa Solomon. I said, could you give me your crime stats as given to the FBI? She sent me a list of crime stats and a graph and put right on it, this is what we gave the FBI. And when they give it to the FBI, it first goes to the DOJ. So I called the FBI, and they said, you know, we can't confirm that it's exactly right because it went to the DOJ first.
Department of Justice.
So I had to call the Department of Justice, and I said, you know, is there any chance that these numbers were wrong? And I think they were thinking that I was trying to blame them for manipulating numbers, because they sent kind of an email back going, like, we don't manipulate numbers. You know, these are the numbers as we got them. So what has happened is Lisa Solomon provided me numbers under a legal records request that are not the numbers that the FBI and the DOJ says she gave to them. Now, the real numbers, violent crime in the last 4 years under Lisa's watch is up 16%. I first had it in the story as an average per year of 6%, but it's over the 4 years, it's a 16% in rapes and murders and assaults. You have, on the 8 categories of crime that she says are up altogether, they're up 2.2% because robberies appear to be down somewhat. But, again, they're not reporting them all anymore.
Well, here's the other thing, too, I think that we have to, you know, if A follows B and B follows, you know, person follows, so let's do it the other way around. If A precedes B and B precedes C. You know, one of the obvious things that's happening, and they're trying, everybody's trying not to just come right out and say it, but it needs to be said, and everything you see going on in Paso Robles, the Salinas gang problem is moving into Paso Robles, and the folks are coming down the road. And so, and Paso is undermanned at right now, and so it stands to reason that there's more crime. It would just, it shouts at you, there must be more crime.
And when you have the police officers, when they're understaffed, they're not covering gang violence, they're not covering drug violence. You had two ghastly murders. One of them, four people went into a room and stabbed a man, and it was drug dealing. The man had been selling them drugs. There had been some problem, according to people I've talked to, there were some problems between some favors he was asking for women for selling them drugs, so they decided to go back and murder him. And so the four of them went over to decide to kill this guy. The other one was also a drugged out person. So you're having, because the gang violence and the drugs aren't being handled anymore by the police department, the violent crimes are skyrocketing. And a lot of business owners in Paso Robles are saying, we don't feel safe in our community anymore.
Okay, let's turn this around another direction. I'm a citizen of Paso Robles. I see that I have a police department that's underfunded. What should the city be doing to say we need more funds for our police department?
I don't know exactly what they should be doing. I think it with a focus on traffic, when you have a gang problem, there might be a problem there. I think at this point, one of the things that the chief has done is she has said, you know, all the problems in my department don't really matter. The officers, many of them are saying the problem is in management. If we had better management, we wouldn't have some of the problems. And part of the reason they've been so understaffed is there's been people on paid administrative leave. Now they're having lawsuits. But the interesting things about the movement in these statistics, she changed the numbers. The total number of the 8 major crimes were padded every year before she became chief. Sometimes as many as 54 burglaries in a year were added. And then after she became chief, every year is lower. So when you look at the top and the bottom, why would somebody do that? So it appears that these numbers were manipulated to make the chief look like, hey, crime in our town is good. When you have what appears to be not allowing the public to really know what's going on and to be fudging numbers.
Now, can there be any other reason besides self-aggrandizement for inflating, deflating figures? Does the police department get more money based on how much crime there is?
Well, see, she didn't deflate them to the. There is a lot of allegations nationwide of people playing with their numbers before they give them to the FBI.
Well, but not only just not only police departments. I mean, look at the school thing and everything else we got going on.
But she didn't do that. She gave the numbers to the FBI and the DOJ, and then under a legal records request, which I think might even be a misdemeanor, she gave different numbers to me. She did not. She put down that they were the FBI numbers, and they weren't. She just because she had made a statement, crime is down 11%. The numbers removed, the numbers that she provided gave that view, but those are not the numbers that she told me. She told me she gave me the FBI numbers. Those are not the FBI DOJ numbers.
Let me ask you a question, if you know the answer to this. Santa Maria PD, because of the thing that happened there, you know, where the officer was shot on duty, you know, they have this, I don't know if they voted this week or not on a confidence vote, or maybe it's next week, I'm not sure. I think it's next week. But they're going to have a confidence vote by the force. Can Pastor Robles do that?
The guys have been talking about it. I don't, but see, Tatro has stepped down as John Tatro was the head of the union, and he stepped down because of his lawsuit. So I don't know what is going if the new person running that is planning on a vote of no confidence. I think the bigger issue here is why do they have a private attorney coming down? Why didn't they ask the attorney general to come in and take a look at Lisa Solomon against the allegations? I know of three officers that have told this private investigator that she touched them in a way that is considered sexual battery. Why has no one gone to the attorney general? Why is this a private issue?
Well, can the officers go to the attorney general?
I think they can. I don't know. I know that they're going right now. They're doing the civil lawsuit type thing.
Right.
The civil lawsuit route.
And here's the thing, and I'm going to say this again, and when I see irregularities in what Karen's doing sometimes, I'm very solid, but when I see them, I try to hold her feet to the fire. And I'm trying to be fair about this, and I'm trying to be fair about this with Lisa Solomon. I have no axe to grind with Lisa Solomon at all myself. I am not not a resident of Pastor Robles or anything. You know, I just read. I read what I read. If she can exonerate herself in all of this, good. All right, then fine. And if the police department's behind her and says, okay, you're our gal, you know, we want you to be the chief and continue on, wonderful. Okay, but let that be the outcome of it. You know, this isn't a thing like, well, let's finally watch her go down in flames. I don't want anybody to go down in flames if it's unavoidable, but, you know, we don't know at this point. And I think I need to say that from my standpoint.
And on this one, this wasn't an allegation from one or two officers. We have probably a dozen officers and dispatchers that have called us at this point and have, you know, said, I saw this happening. I was here when this happened.
Well, will they testify in these civil suits?
Many of them have said yes. They have said they will support the other officers. And some are officers that left a few years ago because things were getting so bad. One officer told me he was one of the in the command staff, and he said, I was asked to retaliate what I thought was unjustly against other officers, and I retired early. And I want you to, would you pass the word along that I will help these guys? They need someone to testify. So I just gave them their numbers. But there are a number of people that have seen stuff that have said, yes, I will be there. Most of these things didn't happen in a closet. Most of these things weren't two people in a room where one person says one thing and the other says another thing. Every instance where an officer says that she touched him, other people were there. None of this is supposed to be...
He said, she said.
Yeah, none of this is we were in an office with a closed door. The one officer said he thought 100 people were there. So, the officer Hernandez had said she pushed his head into her breast. You have a lot of people that say, you know, that have called in and said, hey, I was at the bar that night, or I saw it. So this isn't going to be, there's a lot of people...
Why? So the question, there's another, the burning question in the middle of this is, okay, so here's this thing that's up in the air. There's an investigation going on in an odd way. There's civil suits. So then the question has to be asked, I would certainly think, you got a city manager who it would seem would be more proactive in doing something. and saying, okay, well, we got to put her on leave or we got to do something besides just going life as usual when life as usual apparently isn't so good.
And, you know, I notice this in government sometimes, also with San Luis Obispo, there sometimes is this issue, we're just going to all do a united front. We'll all stand together. We're not going to say anything's wrong. And App and Solomon seem to be very tight, though. I mean, the New Times had a really interesting shredder last week. And there were some things that they said they saw in emails where App is appearing to be very racist in an email to Solomon. And then you have another Solomon where another email, we have Solomon call city councilmen effing idiots. So you seem to have a mentality between the two of them that that seems very supportive and kind of they're in control.
Right, in San Luis Obispo, we've seen similar situations happen where a cabal goes bad or whatever, but, you know, where people, they put their heads together and that turns out to be a very bad thing. Anyway, this is it's an amazing story with this ongoing stuff in Paso. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Karen about whatever else we're going to talk to Karen about right after these words.
Spring is the perfect time to get your garden back in shape with Farm Supply. Hi, this is Chelsea, and I have some great news. Vegetables and herbs have arrived at Farm Supply. We're proud to be your local source for all your home and garden needs. You can trust our knowledgeable staff to help you find the right product, technique, or helpful hint to make your backyard blossom. Stop by our San Luis Obispo store for our annual clinic series in March. Saturday, March 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're talking tomatoes with experts Steve Godot and Giselle Schoniger. They will provide you with helpful tips on growing tomatoes with success in healthy soil. Chicks are hatching and arriving weekly at a farm supply near you. That means it's time for our annual chicken Q&A on Saturday, March 10th. Barbara Bullock will be on hand to answer all your questions about raising backyard chickens. Find us online at farmsupplycompany.com or follow us on Facebook. Visit us in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, and San Luis Obispo. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
The voice of American music, Willie. Willie Nelson and family.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Shut up and kiss me.
March 8th at Shumash Casino Resort.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
Willie.
Blue eyes crying in the rain. You were always on my mind.
Come hear the music that made him a legend.
I didn't come here.
Willie Nelson and Hanley. Live. March 8th at Shumash Casino Resort. Tickets are on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. Willie Nelson and family.
Out there in radio land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
back in the Wayback Machine we are. And we're with Karen Vealey. You're with Bill Benica, Karen Vealey. Karen from CalcoastNews.com. Bill Benica from 1340 KYNS, your news station. And we're discussing what's happened this last week in the news and reporting on CalcoastNews.com and some of the stuff that's going on around us. Where do you want to go to next?
Well, let's talk about the city of Slo a little bit.
Okay.
I have had, we did a story back in December about a spill, and since then a number of employees have come forward wanting to talk about more problems in the city. And one thing they're wanting to point out is they've given me a list of employees that appear to be doing double jobs. And some of them are even doing jobs where they're improving the work that they're doing on their other job.
So we had this story about Bob Nicholson.
Yeah.
That you did. That's what you're
referring
to.
And it's the Bob Nicholson one. The city, and I'm going to do a little update over the weekend, but the city has come back saying, oh, we told him to use his cell phone, the cell phone he's using for his job. You know, he has a side business doing the same thing the city does. And when he was advertising for the city, he was using his side business phone. But they said they asked him to do that because they wanted him to have a cell. Well, his department has cells. He has a work cell he could have put on there. He didn't have to put his private cell. But I even have old advertisements where he was selling a gun, and he was put down his city work number, so people could call him at work to sell his personal gun with a city, you know, a city number. There are laws about using city resources for personal gain, and you're not even supposed to be using, you know, the city to call in and sell things. It's just there's a lot of employees that are. How would you say they really want the city cleaned up at this point? And they were hoping as this stuff came out, the city would say, okay, we're going to clean things up. But now they're saying they're actually more irritated because it seems that the city is going through emails, they're going through everybody's computers, they're going through phone records, they're trying to figure out who's talking, who's going to tell the investigator what's going on, who's telling the media what's going on in the city, which is actually having a different effect. It's causing more and more employees to come forward with a number of environmental problems and different issues. It's also causing some people to be very angry. You know, I've even gotten some threats of someone sent an email yesterday of wanting to shoot people, and it appears it might be coming from someone from the city.
You know how they, let's just say it this way. You know, have you ever seen a reverse directory? Have you ever seen a reverse phone directory where you have a number and then it'll give you a name? I didn't even know they existed until years ago. One time I was in a law office. And so I mentioned something, and the guy said, here, pick up that book and look up the number. You know, I look at the number, and sure enough, there was the name of the person. So computer people can trace back computer emails, by the way. I just thought I'd mention that so you know that that's possibly
convenient. You can trace back IP address, and if they're coming from somewhere like Cal Poly or the city. Yeah. And then sometimes you can also then trace them. If this person's posted before into the same IP address using an email, then you can maybe verify this person works at the city and also teaches at Cal Poly once a week.
We realize once again, and I think Karen's very aware of the fact that nobody likes to be caught. So this tends to usually upset people when these things happen. All right, you have a new thing, a new feature. You have a cartoon guy that you're doing. What's going on with that?
He contacted Cal Coast News probably a month ago and said he'd like to do some cartoons. And he sent over a cartoon with Roger Freeburg and Ann Coulter. Last night, so I put it up today.
Let me see. Let me get it here. It'll come up here in a second.
It's Roger Freeburg does a lot of opinion pieces on Cal Coast News.
Right.
Roger and I were both sued together by Nori Muhammad.
Yeah, Roger's a conservative guy, and his brother is my dentist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just so you know. So in case you think, you know.
What dentist is he in town?
His brother?
Yeah.
Dr. Freeburg.
Okay.
Let's. This is Ann Coulter standing up there saying, "Our blacks are better than their blacks. Halle Berry is a slightly cocoa woman. Kill the Arabs and convert the Jews. Shoot the liberals. Shoot the gays. Profile all Democrats." And then this is Roger, I assume, down here saying, "Don't you love it when she talks dirty to two other people?" Anyway. And so my wife asked me. She said, "Would you be interested in seeing Ann Coulter?" I go, no. No, I wouldn't. Not really, no. So I've never gone to anything political. I've never been even part or parcel. One time I told you about back when Pismo Beach was half crazy, one of the city council women invited me to a party. So you should show up here, Bill. You know, you get a kick out of it. I said, I'd get too much of a kick out of it. I think I won't. I'll just stay neutral. Thank you very much. Anyhow, so he's going to do a cartoon every week.
Now, we really, he just said he would like to start sending some over, and I said, sounds great. And, I think it's a nice addition to the site to have some local political cartoons.
Now, if you go to the site, go to calcosnews.com, and then you'll see the cartoon come up today. Click on that, and then I'll show you the cartoon, and then you can click on some more of his work. This is Joseph Rankin, and it's Cranky Cartoonist.
And he's right here from San Luis Obispo.
Cool.
Very local.
I think that's fun. We had, somebody did the thing on YouTube about Katie Lichtig and somebody else.
Yes,
remember,
yes.
They had the YouTube video that was rather well done, actually.
There's about six of those.
Yeah.
And there was even one that was Katie Lichtig and myself. And was it Katie? Yeah, it was Katie Lichtig and myself, and it was, or no, it was Mayor Jan Marks. Somebody did one with Mayor Jan Marks and myself. And whoever did it, I think, was very nice to me and very mean to Mayor Jan Marks. They have her in a bikini top and a little skirt.
They do?
Yeah.
I'm not going to even try to.
It's Slow Shake. If you want to find his work, go to YouTube and look up Slow Shake. I don't know who it is. I thought two or three people might be the person.
But we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure. And the thing is, Mayor Jan Marks usually dresses much better than I do. I'm more of a jeans and T-shirt person. And so in this, I've got a suit on and a dress, and she's wearing a bikini top. And her belly button's showing.
That's very funny.
She's kind of dancing around.
That's very funny. I'm gonna laugh at that tongue in cheek.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I didn't see that one. I've seen others, so I'll have to look it up. Now, here was an interesting story you had, and interestingly to me, because I just the other day was had to get on the freeway, and I went down Prado Road to get on the freeway on Prado Road to go north. And I thought to myself, holy dump trucker, there are a lot of homeless people living in cars along Prado Road. So the coppers are cracking down on that and everything, and they can fine you for sleeping in your vehicle. You know, if you had parked it and stood next to it, that would be okay. You could park it for 48 hours before it would be tagged to be moved. But anyway, so here's the thought I had as I saw it. And you know, another place that a lot of people don't realize is Industrial Way. A lot of people park along Industrial Way,
yeah.
Sacramento Street. I mean, there's all kinds of places that people say, okay, let me go hide over here. I'm not going to bother anybody. I'll be out of sight, you know. And Prado Road is industrial. There's not a single residence on Prado Road from Higuera to the freeway. And so as I was driving and I was going to the freeway, and I'm thinking, man, we got a lot of people in cars here. And I have to tell you honestly, and I'm not even a nice guy, but I felt bad. I was like, holy cow, this is a lot of people that are out of, you know, homeless in essence and living in these cars and motorhomes and whatnot. And then when this story came up and the police were saying, okay, we have to clean this up, I have to admit I was kind of like, you know, it's not their fault. And if what they're doing is living in this vehicle on the side of an industrial road, basically, what is the problem?
And I know that there are some homeless, like the homeless, some of the homeless vagrants that are drug addicts around some of the parks. That's not all the homeless. There are homeless. I've been to encampments where there's cribs and tents.
Oh yeah.
I've been to encampments where people are in wheelchairs.
The number of kids is amazing. We have 200 and something, I think, homeless kids in San Luis.
Yeah. And these are kids that have to get up. That they see these kids come down. They work over in one of the buildings on Higuera, and they see these kids come out on a trail and get on the bus.
Right.
So you have homeless children that are, you know, so they sleeping in a car is easier than sleeping. But I had a couple of the homeless call me for the city council meeting, and one gentleman who's working part-time, he said, you know, I can't get a place. I keep having to pay camping tickets. They're waking me up all night, and I can't, you know, I've got to go to work in the morning. In our county, 40% of the homeless work 20 hours a week. So you have people that do have to get up, and then they just can't go in the bathroom and take a shower. They have to go to the homeless center. They have to go somewhere else to get a shower and then get over to work. So there is some difficulties in their lives. And, you know, they're not, I know some people say, well, they're all drinking, drugging vagrants. They're not all drinking, drugging vagrants.
I think that's a point well made. I think that's a good point. Now, sure, I used to live next to Meadow Park, luckily at the good end. And if you went up to the other end where all the playgrounds and things are and stuff, and, of course, there was a lot of homeless hanging out around there. And it was always interesting. I don't know about the drug culture. I'm not at all educated in the drug culture, but it certainly seemed to me odd the number of people that sit in the parking lot in a car. You know, this was not like they were living in a car. They were just sitting there in a car in that parking lot. You know, so I think the police though kind of started rounding some of that stuff up. But you know, so it's not to say we don't have but we have this whole complexity of problems with the homeless, like you have with society. Only theirs are so intensified because they don't have any place to be. You know, and so if you have people with mental health issues, they have worse mental health issues. If you have people with physical issues, they have worse physical issues. If you have the kids that are trying to go to school, think how much harder it is for them to go to school. You know, I think the city needs to sort of take a look and then say, maybe they need to say, okay, we'll find a place that people can, you know, go and park their vans, and that's going to be fine.
In Santa Barbara, they allow the homeless to park in the city parking lots at night. I think they have to be gone by 7 a.m. or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they have somewhere they can park where they feel safe. I think there's portalettes. You know, there is a place, you know, for them to be at night.
I really mean this. I think this is really something that should be addressed by the city. I think that, you know, to see these, I mean, when I'm feeling bad for people driving down Prado Road, you know, I mean, it's bad.
I had been doing, I had an intern that was supposed to be working on a gallery of the homeless. She ended up not getting it done. But anyway, so we went around to a lot of the homeless encampments. I took her around and took her to, you know, many of them. There's a homeless encampment behind the Caltrans building. Now, the difference in Caltrans and others, though, is they put out recycle bags for them and regular trash bags every day. And then the homeless in that area back behind Caltrans, and they let a couple that are scared to be around the others sleep, actually put their sleeping bags on the porches, and they move them, and they let them put them behind the bushes and come back in the, you know, in the next night. But the ones down along the behind there, it's the cleanest camp I've ever seen. Everyone's got their little bag hanging. They've got their trash bag, they've got their recycle bag. They all carry their trash up every day, and they put it down there, and they put it in the right bags and put new bags out every day.
Are you really? I'm sorry, you really have to there, but for the grace of God, you know. And then you have the people that, you know, and this is interesting that we have in San Luis Obispo. You have the in-your-face youngsters, I'm going to call them that, in-your-face youths that hang around downtown and beg for money. And, you know, and they're rude, as opposed to the guy that sits there and plays a violin or whatever else it may be, you know, and says, okay, I mean, the guy's begging. Okay, fine. And the guy's got no money. Let him beg. But when you have a problem, you know, and then you should report that. I mean, if you have somebody get in your face who looks like they're ostensibly homeless, whether they are or not, and they're asking you for money and they're doing it in some manner that is rude, then just tell the cops, you know, let them know.
And when I was going around and seeing the different people in tents, I mean, there was one guy, he worked at Frontier Market, you know, I think 30 hours a week, had some, you know, child support and different things, just didn't have enough to do both. Some are on disability. They don't have enough to have food and rent. You know, and a lot of them I saw were working part-time, you know, at different lower pay jobs in the community.
When it goes down, this weekend the temperature's going to go down the 40s again and upper 30s. When that happens, as you crawl into bed, think to yourself, there but for the grace of God, right? That I'm not living in a damn stream.
My daughter and my grandkids went camping the other weekend, and I mean, the kids were saying, "Boy, that's really cold to lay on the dirt, you know, to lay on the sleeping."
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
They didn't find it very, you know, they were excited to do it, but I think they didn't sleep real well.
Here's another thing I want to bring up today. If it wasn't bizarre enough, this goes in my category of people do the darndest things. You know what I mean? People do the darndest things. This time I'd say it was the Cambria School District. Doing the darndest things. They take a letter that has questionable background, and they send it home. to everybody. It wasn't enough that was already in the news as being suspicious to begin with and came from a suspicious place, which it all did. But now they say, well, let's send this letter home and show Mom and Dad how wonderful we are, even though I don't know. It's kind of like this thing, the stolen valor thing the Supreme Court's dealing with about people that wear medals that shouldn't. If you know that you have a letter that was not written by who signed the bottom of it, and you send it out, is that legal? Is that legal?
I don't think so.
It's certainly not ethical. I mean, I understand that, but that's really strange to me.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
If something looks bad, just.
Kick it under the rug, for God's sake.
Ooh,
you know?
That was ugly.
Yeah, okay. I don't get it. So this is this thing with this Pedro Garcia guy wrote this glowing letter about how the superintendent, Chris Adams, was running the place in Cambria and all that. And nobody can find a Pedro Garcia at all in Cambria. Now, I'm surprised they don't actually get an illegal alien and have him change his name to Pedro Garcia so they can hold him up and say, here he is.
There's even little signs around town going searching for Pedro Garcia. It's become a joke. But the email address or the fax address goes back to a fax machine in Long Beach to a phone number that belongs to the superintendent of schools. And it was a letter praising the superintendent of schools. So it is
people do the darndest things.
They do the
darndest things and you just can't figure it out. Go ahead.
I was going to bring back up we did the story on Lisa Solomon and the fact that she was playing around with her statistics. Well, at the same time today, the Tribune came out with a statistics story saying they got numbers from Lisa Solomon that show that traffic is, it's important to do traffic tickets because it keeps deaths down. But then they show two graphs, and the one graph is for different years than the other graph, and the graphs are supposed to work together to prove the point. Did you notice that?
And here's the thing that's kind of weird. I don't know why the Tribune's doing this. This isn't a contest. It's not like I said this before. I don't believe that Karen Vealey has an axe to grind against Lisa Solomon at all. She's had too many people come to her and say, here's something you really can't ignore. Well, if they came to me and said it and I could verify it, I would not ignore it either. I would air it on the air. And then if you have, but for some reason, the Tribune has seemed to say, well, we're going to take Lisa Solomon's side and then try to find evidence to support the fact she's an okay gal. It's kind of weird. I don't understand why this is going on. This thing, before it gets crazier, I hope it unfolds a little bit more as far as civil actions and that kind of thing, so that more people can come forward and say, okay, this is what I think, this is what I don't think. Whatever, find out something. But this, it seems to be a fishing expedition here.
And again, there's already been at least three officers tell an investigator they were touched in a way that's considered sexual battery. What is going on? Why has nothing gone? I've heard rumors that the investigation's over. She started interviewing people in October.
Interviewing people in October for the investigator. This was a lawyer from up north, correct?
It's from the same area that the city's attorney's from and the AV associates the city uses in negotiating against the police officers.
It's a lawyer's den.
It's where the city hires people to support the police department. Several people have said that this should have, they're surprised that they didn't go after law enforcement to investigate this instead of going to a city-hired attorney.
Well, they went to the law firm of Johnson Sphincter and Brussels Sprouts. And they got the best they can get right there. Anyway, that's another one of these strange tales. Okay, let's talk about, I really am so sorry to see that we have another child molester been arrested in San Miguel. It's like, please, what is going on in the Central Coast? We are just one after the next. And that's really a shame.
And it has been a lot over there. There's been, the child porn issue. There's been just a whole lot more than usual in our community lately.
And the thing is if you well, let's go back to if I'm unless this has changed. So let's try to understand something. These child porn issues and child molestation people are supposed to end up in prison, not in jail. Am I correct about that? I believe so. that crimes against children, that people go to jail, prison, not jail.
I think it depends if it's a federal, and I don't know what the difference is when it becomes federal, but I do.
Here's the point I was trying to make, is when you go to the CMC, it used to be the policy, and I have to be honest with you, I haven't heard lately, so I don't know. It used to be the policy that you were incarcerated at the CMC, you were released to the jurisdiction where you were arrested. Actually, you were sentenced. You were released to the jurisdiction where you were sentenced. Because otherwise, you know, San Luis Obispo would be so chock full of lunatics, we wouldn't know what to do. But I don't know. Do they still do that?
Yes.
Okay. So that's still in place.
I think until you're off probation, you're required to stay there.
Okay. I don't think, but I'm not sure, but maybe you can find out. You can find out. I don't think they can put in jail. I think they have to still go to prison.
I do know that there's in federal government there's a list of the most important crimes that they go after. They're the top 10, and because like if federal agents are going to go after somebody, they have to they investigate it first, and then they have to get a federal attorney to say I'll go after this. And they like it to be in the top 10 crimes, and I think three is child porn.
Yeah,
and that is something they really do try to handle.
Yeah, and the sad part, of course, is we had it happen in Southern California. Then after two guys were arrested, a third guy was arrested, and it's like it just seems to be. I don't know what's going on with the world, but it's gone haywire with all that. I don't get it. All right, I think that's. Let me see if there's anything else. This was a thing, real quick, governing by initiative is very costly, but, you know, we've been doing that in California now forever because we basically go, our legislators can't really accomplish anything, have you noticed? And they don't accomplish anything, have you noticed? So we'll just go ahead and do it by ballot box.
Yeah,
and it's a shame. I mean, it really is. It's counterintuitive, but that's okay. Now we, in a way, California has become a true democracy rather than a republic. So, you know, for people that are big on democracy, we've hit the nail on the head, I think, with this whole initiative thing. But you're right. It doesn't matter. There's very few that ever just go through and say, okay, that's approved without a lawsuit that follows with it. And that's just that's the nature of California. Karen Veal, I want to thank you very much for coming in today. Any top breaking stories next week, Karen will always come in first here and then and talk about them and not wait till Friday. And otherwise, we will see you next Friday, and you have a good week.
You too.
Thanks, Karen. I appreciate it.
CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. An international community expresses outrage with President Assad's violent crackdown on the Syrian people.
The people who bear responsibility for this humanitarian catastrophe are Assad and his security forces.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at a 70-nation meeting in Tunisia.
The regime is doing everything it can to prevent aid from reaching those who are suffering the most.
And humanitarian aid is all that's coming, despite some support for arming the opposition. President Obama says it's time for the Assad regime to move on, time for the assaults on their own people to end. Continued fallout over the burning of Qurans at a military base in Afghanistan. 12 dead in anti-American demonstrations in Afghanistan today. In Washington, an apology to Muslims living in the area from a senior Pentagon official, WTOP reporter Thomas Warren.
Peter Lavoie with the Defense Department offered an apology during the gathering here at the Adams Mosque.
When American military personnel unknowingly and improperly dispose of Islamic religious materials.
Lavoie also says within a week, all NATO forces will be retrained on how to handle religious materials. This man says it's a good first step.
Let's get to know each other so that we can dialogue.
Understanding is all Muslims here say they want.
Iran and nuclear power. The latest now from CBS's Sam Litzinger.
What is Iran doing with its nuclear program? It says it's not trying to make a weapon, but a new UN report says the Iranians have ramped up production of higher-grade enriched uranium over the last few months, raising concerns they could build a bomb sooner rather than later if that's what they want. The UN says another big concern is a lack of cooperation by Iran.
What happens in Iran affects the price of oil here, up nearly $1.50 a barrel today. Peter Butel at Cameron Hanover.
It's because of the psychological fear that Iran could do something that would throw this market into such turmoil that it might be difficult to get future barrels.
Officials at San Francisco International Airport shutting down part of Terminal 1. Suspicious package found. There are reports one person is being detained. The Michigan primary just days away. Native son Mitt Romney in trouble in the polls today, currying favor among lovers of American cars.
I like the fact that most of the cars I see are Detroit-made automobiles. I drive a Mustang and a Chevy pickup truck. Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs, actually. And I used to have a Dodge truck, so I used to have all three covered.
The most valuable player in the National League, reporting to spring training today.
I was able to prove that I literally didn't gain a single pound. I literally didn't get one-tenth of a second faster. My workouts have been virtually the exact same for 6 years. I didn't get 1% stronger.
That's Milwaukee Brewers' Ryan Braun on the MLB Network. His 50-game suspension for a positive testosterone test overturned. A lot of flirting with 13,000 today, but nope, the Dow finishes down a point at 12,988. The NASDAQ up six. This is CBS News.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What do we want?
Weekend.
When do we want them?
Now.
How do we want them?
With 20% off.
Where do we want it?
At Ace.
Let's go.
Come into Ace this Saturday and get 20% off almost anything that fits into an Ace bag. So stop by, fill your bag, and get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Discount is off regular priced in-stock merchandise that fits inside one bag. Good at participating stores February 25th only. One bag and offer per customer. Other conditions apply. See store for details.
It is the movie that everyone's in love with this year.
It has won most of the pre-Oscar awards.
Best film goes to The Artist.
Now, the black-and-white silent film The Artist awaits to see if it will win Hollywood's biggest prize, the Best Picture Award. It is the huge favorite. There are favorites in the acting categories as well. Many are predicting an Oscar for George Clooney. He is up for Best Actor for The Descendants.
I'd like to know who the guy is that my wife was... See.
And the favorite for Best Actress appears to be Viola Davis for her moving role in The Help.
I don't want to leave you, but it's time for me to retire. You're my last little girl.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Hollywood.
Specifically uninvited to walk down Oscar's red carpet, Sacha Baron Cohen's character in his upcoming film, The Dictator. Cohen had planned to dress as his fictional Admiral General Shabazz Aladdin. The Academy says, no, please don't. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
I'm talking with Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. How would you define the quality of the scanner?
The temporal scanner is the only thermometer that has been rigorously tested by thousands of hospitals with more than 40 peer-reviewed published studies attesting to its accuracy.
What about the value of the product?
The peace of mind from knowing that your family's health is well protected is priceless.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Babies R Us, Toys R Us, and other fine retailers.
I thought I'd put a little Moby and what's the guy's name? Bourne. I put a little Bourne music behind me because before we get to our movie thing with Wendy Edson and with Jim D today, a special thing going on, we got to tell you about Spencer's Fresh Market, if I may, and I shall. And so let me mention that we have wonderful things going on at Spencer's in all five locations today. Fresh 80% lean ground beef. My wife's there getting me some of that right now as I speak for $1.99 a pound. Sort of boneless pork chops are just $2.59 a pound. And Sunny Roost chicken leg quarters. It's a Sunny Roost. They probably have never seen the sun. 79 cents a pound. And so then they got all the great fresh veggies and everything, you know. And you know how John Spencer's with his veggies. Don't forget they have organic foods. They have their great bakery department where you get all kinds of great baked goods and pre-made foods. Like they have boneless chicken wings for just $3.99 a pound. You can just chomp on those little buggers. And they have a special tri-shift sandwich going on right now if you want to stop by for lunch for $5.99 a pound. And they got beer and they got booze and they've got pretty much everything you need. Once you've got the beer and the booze, you've got it. And Dorito chips just because you have to eat something. All right, Spencer's Fresh Markets in five locations on the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora Grande, and Santa Maria.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fun.
Here we be. You're with Bill Benneke. You're with Wendy Edson from the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival and with Jim D from the Palm Theater. And I thought, well, Wendy was coming in. We got together finally, and I said, Wendy's coming in. I called Jim, said, well, why don't we do this together? Because, you know, Jim D is involved up to his ears in the International Film Festival, so that's why I did what I did. Let's do this before we get the we'll do the film festival for. We always do the other weird stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you know, cuz I like my quote about they had in the Ticket magazine that if Nicolas Cage no longer takes himself seriously, you know, why should we? About the flamey head thing that he's doing, you know.
Yeah,
that funny writer. Yeah. I don't understand why he's decided his career is not important in any particular way. But we have other people. We want to talk about the International Film Festival and this is the what annual?
18th
annual film festival. It's March 7th through the 11th, it's just so much fun. It's for me to try to express to you how great these films are. I don't do it justice. I just can't tell you. And the young people, generally younger people, that put these independent films together, and we'll have a lot of them coming in here and being interviewed over the next 2 weeks and talking to them about their efforts and how they decide to do it and all that. And I hope you'll listen because, and I'll announce when we first start at noontime at 12:05. I hope you'll listen because by what I've learned in these interviews, you know, doing them, you go, wow, I got to see that. You know, that's amazing to me. One of the ones I remember last year, and I'm still fascinated by this. And now every time I see somebody with red hair, I go, you know, you people are going to be extinct soon. Because they had the movie Redheads.
The last of the redheads. Yeah.
And it was weird because they are genetically, redheads are disappearing slowly. And they even have a dating service where they try to get redheaded people to marry redheaded people. So they have redheaded kids. But it's a weird thing with the gene thing, and the redheads are slowly going away. So wow. I thought, what a fascinating thing. And I went and saw the movie. I was absolutely fascinated. So this is the kind of thing, I just want to give you an idea of what we do.
Yeah.
Wendy, tell us about the film festival this year.
Well, you're right. That's one of the things I love about my job, is that every year I get to watch all these movies on topics of things that I would never normally, you know about or necessarily even watch. But there's some fabulous movies at the festival again this year, and there's a really great eclectic mix, which is what we always try to do. So some people say, what's your theme? You know, I really try not to have themes because I think themes are too limiting. So we really don't. We only have 5 days. So we have really something about almost everything. And from heavy, serious, you know, important topics to silly, fluffy, you know, stuff, and then also sports, several great sports-oriented films, and music, just everything. So, there's something for everyone. At
Why don't we start? Let's start, though, with this discussion with this, because we have a very special thing that's happened, and Jim and I were just kind of dancing with glee around the studio last week about this whole thing, and that's the fact they're going to show Citizen Kane up at Hearst Castle.
Uh-huh.
And so you're going to have a special deal up there, right?
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's been something I've been wanting to do. Actually, just been wanting to do an event at Hearst Castle for the last few years, and this was sort of a surprising bonus that we actually were given the permission to be able to screen Citizen Kane at Hearst Castle Visitor Center Theater, and it'll be the first time on that property that this controversial movie has ever been shown there. And people are literally flying in from around the world to come to the screening, so pretty
that's
exciting.
That's cool. That's absolutely cool. Let's see, and I the map I made for the people that are going to come to the interview, you notice I put San Luis Obispo International Airport. So no one's deceived by this little patch of cement over here. It's an international airport, by gosh.
And yes, it is. And now, this is an international film festival, and it's very exciting. We got when that was announced about a month ago, we got press all over the world and in sort of amazing places too. You know, headlines in Australian papers and things.
Right.
And it's very exciting. Some people don't really get it if they're not real movie buffs or history buffs. They kind of go, yeah, oh, that's great. But the other people that do understand the why it's so exciting just are, you know.
If you can't get to Hearst Castle, the state, go rent Citizen Kane, for gosh sakes. You know, you should have seen that by the time you were 10 years old, shouldn't you? Wasn't that an assignment in third grade?
Well, I would think that one of the most important things about this is if Hearst had his way, we would have never seen Citizen Kane.
Well, this is what's interesting. So now tell us how this is such a big deal, because it really is a big deal. How did this come about?
Well, you know, it was 70 years ago that the movie came out, and it was, as Jim said, it was possibly not going to be, because it was made by Orson Welles, who was a kind of young, total upstart. He was only 25 when he directed that film, co-wrote it and directed it. And The film is also famous kind of for many technical achievements that, I mean, because he was so new at filmmaking, he did things that nobody had done yet because he just figured, why not?
Yeah.
So things like focus, having things in focus in the foreground and the background at the same time had never been done before. So there's a lot of interesting things about the movie itself, but he sort of boldly based the character of Charles Foster Kane on a composite of a lot of, you know, well-known, wealthy industrialists at the time. So it wasn't necessarily all about Hearst at all, but somehow it was taken as a threat, and possibly the Hearst, possibly William Randolph Hearst overreacted to.
Well, he certainly saw himself in this character.
Yeah, so part of that fact that they tried to keep that film from being released was probably drawing too much attention to it. But I think, fortunately, now that 7 years have passed, there's, you know, the family is several generations
away.
Yeah. And Stephen Hurst loves the movie and thinks that it's a really wonderful opportunity for him to be able to show it at Hearst Castle and express the fact that it is not a documentary. It's a work of fiction, and it's a wonderful movie for a lot of different reasons. And but that, you know, the brooding castle or mansion that was in that movie is not representative of Hearst Castle. That's not, I mean, anybody who's been to Hearst Castle knows it's just a beautiful, magical, you know, light kind of place. And the fact that the starlet that he was having an affair with was very different to Marion Davies. And there's a lot of things that are very different. So he's very
a lot of things that are bold, very, a lot of things are very similar too, I might add.
There's some similarities too. So I think it's going to be an exciting opportunity, and I'm really
now, is this going to just be the, for your premiere showing of this, is that the only time they're going to show it? They're not going to replace that of Living the Dream or making the castle, are they?
I don't think so.
This is a pretty special occasion.
This
is a one-time deal. Okay, and tell us when that is and how you can be involved in it.
Well, it's going to be challenging to be involved in it at this point because when we put out a certain limited number of tickets on sale, they were sold out in half an hour.
Wow.
The first time that we added a screening, so that first screening is Friday, March 9th, and then there's a second screening on Sunday, March 11th. And so that also sold out right away. But we are expecting to release a certain number of tickets probably at the end of next week.
Okay.
So
keep your finger poised on that computer button right there. Yes,
and I was just going to say, if anyone is interested, we have on our website, which is slowfilmfest.org, on the homepage, there's a little note or a little thing you can click on the right side that says follow blog by email. If you click that, you become a follower of our website, and anything that gets announced, you'll get that news right away.
The so let's ask this question because this draws a huge number of people, overflowing crazy people, to the surf night. Do we have a surf movie this year?
We do, and kind of an unusual one, as we often do. It's called Finn Surf, and it's about surfing in Finland.
Really?
Right. And we have two, the filmmaker and one of the surfers is going to be coming from Finland for the screening. It's really a wonderful movie. It's entertaining, funny. Well, obviously, I mean, these people are going into the water in sub-zero temperatures.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, icicles are hanging off their noses while they're surfing. There are also some scenes that take place in Bali, just as a kind of a contrast. So there's some great waves. It'll look fabulous on the Fremont screen. And following that, we actually have two more sports films. One's about mountain biking, competitive mountain biking, and the other one is about snowboarding, and it's incredible. So it's actually a trilogy of sports films this year instead of just one.
I just noticed a movie, and there's so many, you know, we're not going to get to them all today, but I'll kind of highlight this as we go towards the film festival. I'll bring some up every day of what we're going to see, and then, of course, we'll have the people we're going to interview. But I noticed this one, this shot felt around the world about Joseph Salk and the Salk vaccine. I think it was 2 days ago, two days ago was the anniversary of the first public application of Salk vaccine to children. And
really?
It ought to be.
I should have put that out as a news blast.
Darn. But anyway, but I think anybody our age were some of the first kids to get it, and you know, and I remember also, they had that you'd line. We were lined up in a classroom, and they had a big bowl of lollipops at the end, you know. And I was one of those people that prior to then I was not big on shots, you know what I mean? And I'd stiffen up my arms and felt like hell and everything, you know. So I was being coached for a week by my don't stiffen up, just relax and it won't feel that bad. And I remember, I don't remember what age I was. We were young. I remember as I'm approaching, looking at that candy thing, the tears are starting to well in my eyes already, you know, because I'm about to get stabbed by somebody. Anyway, it wasn't so terrible after all. And
you survived.
The amazing thing is the people have survived polio because of that. And it's absolutely, and they say, and to just add a little note to this, to add more interest, I think, to this movie, they hope that that within the next couple of years we'll eradicate polio like we eradicated smallpox. It'll be a thing of the past. And I mean worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be gone, which would be just absolutely great. Because I think all of us kind of remember or knew somebody that had polio in one form or another, either severely or, you know, have a leg problem or whatever. But, you know, it was a terrible, terrible thing back then. So that should be a great movie, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be our opening night film. It's called Shot Felt Around the World, and we're actually delighted because we have Doctors Jonathan and Peter Salk coming.
Really?
Who are the sons of Jonas Salk.
How
and
cool.
They continue to kind of carry the torch and eradicating polio around the world. They're apparently great speakers, and I'm really looking forward to having them there for the Q&A that night. That's going to be at Cuesta College's new Performing Arts Center, too, which is going to be fun.
You have, let me ask this question. Where am I going with it? I was going to just ask. Oh, tell me about workshops. Let's talk a little bit about some of the workshops we're going to have.
Okay, well, we have several. One of them is going to be with filmmakers that are visiting, which we do every year. So we just invite them to be part of a panel. We talk about different topics that are pertinent, you know, each year to getting a movie made, which is so difficult. And I don't know, you know, if most people really understand until they try how difficult it is to not just make a film, but also make a good film. So they are all, they've all achieved that, which is fantastic. And they will be there to share stories, horror stories, good stories, happy stories, about how you get a movie made, and then once it's made, how you get it distributed, which is always a challenge, too.
The other thing that's really neat about the film festival, I think, is that the person that did the film is always in attendance at the film festival when it's shown, and then afterwards they'll answer questions.
Yes.
You know, because some of these things are so extraordinarily unusual, and you've just never seen it before, imagined it, whatever, that you're just compelled to say, holy cow, how did you find out about this, or what did you do with this? And I think to myself, I think the most questions I've ever heard when anything I attended was the people that lived in the dump. Remember? In South America or someplace,
yeah.
Ecuador or something. And all the people,
yeah.
They were born, raised, died in the dump. They lived their whole life in this dump.
In El Salvador.
Yeah, in El Salvador. They're like, holy dump truck. You know, and to talk to the woman, I think a woman did it, and have her talk about it was like, wow, you know, just one of those amazing things again.
She was actually, that was Leslie Iwerks, and Iwerks is the family that came up with the, it's actually the Iwerks format that the theater at Hearst Castle uses.
Oh, really?
The National Geographic Theater. It's not IMAX, it's iWorks.
How interesting.
And so her family's, yeah, and her, I think her father was a Disney, one of the original Disney artists, too.
Now, we have a person coming all the way from New Zealand to accept the King Vidor Award, and we had Mike called in the other day, who's an artist, and he met him in the past and had a chance to have a conversation with him, and he's like, I got to try to see this guy again, because he said he's basically the George Lucas of New Zealand film.
Oh, yeah.
He's that big in New Zealand. He's huge in New Zealand. He's
yeah.
a big deal.
He's a sir.
He's a That's sir. That tells, you, that tells you right there. Sir, for God's sake. So how'd you come up with him? Tell us his name first, because I can't.
It's Sir Richard Taylor.
Sir Richard Taylor.
And he is the partner of Peter Jackson. And Peter Jackson is, you know, a very pretty famous name in the movie world for movies like Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And King Kong and others. And he, Richard Taylor is the creative genius behind so much of what they've done with Weta Workshops, but he's not typically in the spotlight like Peter Jackson is. So we're looking forward to giving him his due by giving him our big award this year, and we're delighted that he's making the trip all the way from New Zealand.
Yeah,
apparently
awesome.
He hasn't left New Zealand for 7 years.
Really? Wow. I don't think I've left San Luis Obispo for 7 years. Let me think.
It seems that way. So he works. I mean, he's involved. Someone just said yesterday that he's involved in 12 films right now.
Wow.
I mean, that's the guy's life. He works with his wife, Tanya Roger, and they just work all the time and are sort of light years ahead of, you know, in technology and stuff. And they've been sort of the brains behind movies like Avatar, and Adventures of Tintin, and that sort of motion capture animation
right.
that is now becoming more and more used and popular. But it's amazing, and there's going to be definitely discussions about how that is done and how where it's going. And
are we going to see any of his film work?
Yeah, we're actually probably not going to show any features necessarily, but there are definitely going to be clips
as
he is tributed.
Cool. Absolutely cool.
So wait,
I got to get the behind the scenes thing. That's what I get to do. I'm behind the scenes. How did you come up with this guy?
Well, he is a colleague of someone who just got on our board, Jeff Bacon. And Jeff's got a really interesting background in film and film marketing. But he now has a company called Immersion Software Technologies, and they are involved in repurposing that that kind of animation that's being used for other industries.
Really?
Yeah, so using it in ways that can really be helpful in medicine and architecture and education and stuff. So that's going to be discussed too when we present him with the award. But it's Jeff really that made that connection, and we're excited that he did.
I once got to narrate a film on how champagne's made, and I had to learn French just to try to even start out of the blocks, which is a lot better than the movie I did about an Arabian horse, because I had to learn Arabic, and that was even harder. Because I struggle with English as I do. Anyway, the film festival is just going to be super dupe again. It's from the 7th through the 11th, right? 7th through 11th?
Yes.
Yes. And there's just going to be so many things to see. We're going to have people in here that have done some of these movies. And some of these people do these things on a song. They just on a shoestring budget, and yet they come up with a movie that you go, holy dump.
Yep.
It's just cool.
And I just like to credit Jim right here, because Jim is actually one of the people who started the film festival. I'm not sure how many people know that, but it's been 18 years, right? And it's pretty cool that it's been
amazing.
Around.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Well,
thanks for doing it.
She also mentioned Mary Harris, who was a real, go-getter to get everything going, and she was involved with the first 10, 12, 13 years. So, and now Wendy, head honcho. I love the work that you do, and the film festivals have been fabulous.
Yeah,
now, you've been 4 years? Five?
Let's see. Five, I think it is.
Five.
Yeah.
Great to have you.
Her years run together, too, because she works so hard.
Yeah.
No,
it's
really.
It's great.
No,
I'm
Wendy
lucky
does
to have this job.
A lot of work. Now, don't forget to go to slowfilmfest.org, and you can buy tickets. There's all kinds of different categories of tickets you can buy. You can see a couple of movies, one movie, everything in the whole wide world, the red carpety stuff. Mm-hmm. There's all different things that you can buy into, and whatever works for your budget. I'd encourage you to at least see a couple of these movies. If you only saw one of these movies, it'd be fun for you to do it. I mean that. It would just it's just really interesting.
And it should work into most budgets. We really try not to make things expensive at the festival. That's one of my important missions, is to keep it affordable, keep it accessible to everybody. And so we don't really have the only sort of elite thing that we have going on is a sort of a special castle, VIP castle tour at Hearst Castle, which is a little pricey because we can't have that many people do it, but
right.
And it's special. I mean, wow,
yeah,
you should have to pay a lot for that.
That's
but
right.
Even the screening of Citizen Kane that night with the reception and an award ceremony for Timothy White is only $50. I mean, that's pretty reasonable.
I think it's reasonable for sure.
I think it's worth noting, you go to other film festivals and they're pretty pricey, I love that reasonable price aspect of the San Luis Film Festival.
We could mention our neighbors of the South and their film festival and being pricey, but we'll just not do it. Everything they throw into that Arlington Theater costs more than the theater is worth. It's like, holy cow. Anyway, so it's going to be a fun film festival. If we can, we'll see how Wendy's schedule goes. If we can get Wendy back in partway through it, we'll do that. But she may be too busy. But please be advised that we will probably starting next week, I would almost assume, we'll be starting to have filmmakers in here on Talk is Cheap, and we'll be talking. We can do two a day. So we'll have some filmmakers in here and talk about some of the stuff they've done. It's absolutely great. Wendy, I thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to come back and talk to Jim D. about the PAM Theater.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Cinema for your soul right there.
Anyway, you guys, it's not that big a deal. This is Talk is Cheap. If there's little voices in the background, nobody cares. It doesn't matter. They expect that. They expect people to be in here chewing me out for something. Thanks, Wendy. Nice to see you, Kurt. We have Jim D. with us, and we're always a pleasure to have Jim on Fridays, and I thank you very much for coming, Jim. Wait, I got to turn your microphone up. Otherwise, there's no point in you getting here. There's no point in you showing up.
Yeah, great to be here, and great to be with Wendy. You know, and the film festival is fabulous. I mean, the only thing I want to add is the fact that it is reasonable. Get one of the passes where you can go like five or more movies, right, and just dive in. It's 5 days only. You know, just like you were saying, Bill, you're going to see something that you're going to be educated, you're going to be entertained, something that will knock your socks off that you didn't know existed.
And here's what to get right here. They can get to the film festival offices where Davidson's Furniture was right now. That's the temporary, that's their office for this year. And so it's right there at the corner of Toro and Higuera, and across McClintock's. There's a parking lot right across the street so you can park. And so make sure you either go there when you go to the Palm Theater, which I expect you to do. Thank you.
We have the schedules at the Palm, so the film festival schedules are readily available there. They are absolutely free. We have a bunch of them, and stop by the Palm and pick one of those up, or at the film festival headquarters.
Now, here's the thing, and do yourself a favor. Pick it up, even though you're not going to have anything in depth, but you know, you can just look at some of them and say, okay, let me circle this, let me circle that, and see if that's maybe something I want to go see, and then you can decide from there. Another thing, they're going to have dinner movie night at Bonatavola is the 25th anniversary of Moonstruck. I noticed they're going to have Moonstruck. And that's maybe the last movie that Nicolas Cage did seriously. I'm not sure.
In his early years before he was hooked up with Jerry Bruckheimer or whatever he does with that.
Actually, Moonstruck is one of my favorite movies ever. I think it was just a great movie. I think Cher did a fabulous job, and you know, I just think the whole thing was great.
When Cher was acting, she was a very fine actress. I really, you know, she went back to music, I guess, wonderful outfits that she wears. But, boy, you know, she was a fantastic actress.
Yeah, she did a very good job. Yeah. She really did.
The great scene, that is when she slaps him upside the head and, you know,
there's so many
snap
great,
out of it.
There's so many great scenes in that movie. It really is good. If you want to have dinner at Bonatavola and then go see Moonstruck, what a deal. I mean, that would just be darn right fun. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you can look into that. Anyway, there's the Alwyn. And they even have the menu over here. So they got the menu of what you can buy, what you can get for dinner. Anyway, there's just a lot of great things going on with the film festival this year. And, of course, Jim D. will have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of movies at the Palm Theater.
Yeah, we've got quite a few. But what is great is the film festival is spread out over a number of venues, you know, in town and out of town. So it's kind of a Central Coast film festival.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit. You're right, it is, because Tascadero's got a theater now. And then I think I went to that place in Pismo. They got a little place in Pismo Beach. What's it called?
Oh,
a little place in Pismo Beach. It's called.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I forget what it's called.
You can go get some clam chowder and then go see a movie. But they, go to Moe's right there. It's a small theater. But anyway, it is spread out a little bit more now, and so that makes it more convenient, obviously, for more people. Although it's coming to San Luis, isn't that tough? You know, it's downhill from the North County. You just have to get home. All right. Other things are going on. There was something I was going to mention about the thing. There was something I was going to mention. The venues, the different venues. I lost my train of thought, so that's the end of that.
Well, mark your calendars. The Slow Film
mark
Fest is really worth attending.
Yeah, and get the magazine. And then don't forget, we'll have the people on here on Talk is Cheap, and we'll have a lot of different directors and stuff, and we'll be talking to them about what's happening with the movies. Now, do you ever see these movies? This is what I was going to ask you. It came back to me. Thank you. Do you see any of these movies when you go to Toronto?
You know, in looking over the schedule, and I just got my printed schedule just yesterday, and that's one thing about the San Luis Film Festival that's been so incredible, is we should have asked Wendy this. Probably 90% of these are premieres, brand new films.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure there's some features in there that may have been shown, but I think for the most part, this is a brand new film festival. You're going to be seeing films that you probably haven't seen or couldn't see anywhere else. So that's the beauty of the SLO Film Festival. I think I'm not sure what percentage are all new films, but let's say a large percentage are brand new.
I got to think about the Oscars here somewhere.
This weekend
on Sunday.
Infamous.
They give the time in the paper. Today they gave the time at 8-something. I'm sure that's Eastern time.
That's Eastern time.
Yeah,
starts at 5,
starts
and I think they get on the red carpet around noon.
Or before.
Yeah, there you go.
Or before. Well, they had an interesting, they had somebody, the movie guy on NBC, some movie guy, and he was saying that, you know, they're saying, what needs to be done better for the Academy Awards, because the number of people watching are going down all the time. And so, you know, he said, I think having Billy Crystal back is going to be helpful. He's, you know, he's older now and just a big draw. And I have to admit, I love Billy Crystal.
Me too.
Hosting the thing. And then they said, red carpet needs to focus more on, and the whole Academy needs to focus more on, you know, it was built, the whole Academy Awards was built on Hollywood royalty, so to speak. And, you know, there's a lot of young people that are doing okay, Seth Rogen and some of these people making these funny movies, you know. That's all well and good, but, you know, you still have people that are, you know, been around for a while, the Jack Nicholsons and the people like that that have been around, and Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep. And they need to, and what they were saying is, as presenters, they should use those people a lot as presenters, you know, because that way you get to see these people that have already won all these awards and they're classic people and all that. And I have to agree, I think that might make a difference.
They kind of do. I mean, I think with the actor awards, they'd have another actor.
Right.
But, you know, you got to slog through the dance numbers and songs.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's interesting about the Academy Awards. And I have to admit, if I was the guy that had to produce it, I'd be pulling my hair out going, okay, how is it I can reach the broadest number of people? You know, I've got to get older people. I've got to get, you know, the middle demographic. I've got to try to get younger people to go and see Harry Potter. You know, I've got to try to get this whole ensemble of people and have a program that's going to make that happen. And that I don't envy the job whatsoever. That's a tough road to hoe, I think.
Well, you know, the film, the program itself, you know, usually runs 3 hours, sometimes 3.5 hours. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, look down on some of the awards they give for, like, sound effects editing or something like that. Not that they aren't very important to the making of a film. But really, you know, when you get into those technical awards, even though they're important, you know, I think people are waiting for the best actor, best director,
supporting actors and all that. And they have, you know, they do have technical awards they give to people. They have a special award ceremony for them.
Yeah.
But you're right. They should kick some more of that stuff in there. Because, you know, it's... We applaud the achievements of these people, but you're right. The thing does go too long. I don't usually really mind it. I say to myself, okay, I'll try to last this thing out if I can. I want people, if somebody wins an Academy Award, and it's for an acting award, I want them to have a chance to say how they feel about it. You know, that they thank Mom, Dad, and everybody and their grandma, but, you know, it's a big deal for those people.
You know?
I mean, it's a big darn deal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want them to say, okay, I want you to thank your people. I don't want you to spend 10 minutes at it, but thank them, you know, kind of a thing. And I don't resent the fact that I don't want to each get now 2 minutes.
Believe it or not, you know, you have to accept your award and do your speech and thank all your relatives? 45 seconds.
You're kidding.
I assume it's true, but I was at something recently, and that was a question asked. I have no clue. You know, I was going to say, okay, like 2 minutes or something? No, apparently 45 seconds, and then that music is going to start welling up, which means the hook is coming towards you to get off the stage.
Wow. they're trying to shorten that puppy.
If it was a two-hour show, I think it would be one of the most-watched show, and I don't know where to cut the fat or whatever, but I mean, 2 hours and celebrating the films of a certain year, I think that would be a dynamite show. But 3.5 hours, usually 3 hours minimum, gets a little over.
Well, and it's actually more than, you know, it's usually more than 3 hours. Even if it was 3 hours, like, that's how long the Super Bowl thing lasts, if you don't count the pregame stuff that also starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. you know, then it's something that people can have their attention held for long enough, I think, to watch. But and here's the funny thing. A lot of times all I've done is read about some of these movies. I haven't personally seen them, you know, but I've read so much about them, or you and I have talked about them, or they've been talked about in the news, whatever the case may be, and the actors and all the people, the directors, that I find I can, it's sort of like I can viscerally enjoy the Academy Awards having not even seen some of these movies, because there's a certain excitement, obviously, when they have five candidates for a movie or an acting thing, whatever it is, and you're like, oh, okay, that person's great and that person's great, and you may know that they're great even if you didn't see the movie they did that was great,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of a thing. So it's very, very, I think the Academy Awards are fun.
Yeah.
I think it's I wish they didn't have so many leading up to it that everybody's patting themselves in the back and giving themselves awards. I think it's a little overdone nowadays. But
okay. Yeah. You know, one thing I've often said, you know, singling out the so-called best, using that word, drives me a little crazy because were we talking about the year that, you know, Hurt Locker won against Avatar?
Right, right.
And it's how do you compare those films? I mean, how is one best over the other? But Woody Allen nailed it. He said the results of the Academy Awards are the favorite movies. The one who wins the Oscar for Best Picture, that was the favorite movie of the year.
Not necessarily the best.
Not necessarily the best, but the favorite. And I think that really nails it. I think it's more accurate.
They had the numbers on the Academy voters. Have you seen those? They're a bunch of old white folk.
Well, that was the big news story of this past week.
Yes,
the fact that it's like, what, 90% male, 70% white. There's like, you know, minuscule amounts of ethnicity in the Academy.
Right.
So,
Well, you know what? If we really stop and think about it, that shouldn't surprise us. This last bastion of white malehood, you know, that nobody, they hid under the radar for the longest time, you know, and people just said, okay, it's the Academy Awards. Well, now this year somebody decided to out this whole thing and say, guess what? This is who's doing the voting. And hopefully, like for every other thing that we've done in our society over the last 15, 20, 25 years, we'll say, okay, this has to change. There's a necessity for change here.
Well, you know, what is also very secretive, and I don't know if they have the information or define the information, but the people who judge or create the ratings, if a film gets an R or PG-13, you don't know who those people are. And we showed a film, I forget, this film is rated something, or it was a documentary on the rating system. And I don't know if we'll ever find out who those people are, but, you know, those people who sit and watch a movie, and it's not very many people, and they decided there's certain rules, and, you know, you use an F-bomb, and if you use it once, twice, PG-13. If you use it more, it's an R.
Right.
I mean, silly rules like that. But I don't think we'll ever find out who is on the ratings board. We kind of found out about the Academy, but the ratings board are going to stay hidden, I think.
They're probably like the Supreme Court, only locked up 24 hours a day. Anyway, that's interesting. And you know what's so funny is we've now all gotten so used to what things are rated that, you know, it's like almost anybody could do it. I think you and I could sit down and say, all right, we get to rate these movies, then the rating board gets to rate them. I bet we could nail them 100%. 99% anyway.
Yeah, but boy, you look at a film that was rated, well, you know, there's certain things. I mean, if there's sex, R. But,
right,
I mean,
right.
If you have some pretty bad bloody violence, I mean, some of that can go PG-13. I mean, the criteria that they use is
kind of odd. I was going to say, it's probably pretty cockamamie.
Yeah.
To say, okay, well, there's this act of violence, there's this kind of, I would imagine that. So we have time to play this. Let's do this. I may not want to play when I say let's play it. But Undefeated, they say, could make Oscar history.
We need affordable energy in America.
We've got to protect the environment.
The Economist makes some good points.
We need safer energy.
Who's right? They all are. Visit powerandcooperation.com.
For almost 14 years, we never won a football game.
For Manassas High School in West Memphis, losing football games was a decades-long tradition. Until they became undefeated.
We picked the title Undefeated because it speaks directly to the subtext of the film, the idea of resilience.
T.J. Martin and Dan Lindsay filmed the 2009 season when the Manassas Tigers went from ultimate underdogs all the way to the playoffs.
You gotta believe in yourselves, fellas.
With its unflinching action, heart-wrenching emotion, and the unwavering determination of a beloved coach.
Everybody says, when you get these inner-city kids down, they'll lay over and you'll beat them by 40. Not us!
The documentary is now Oscar-nominated.
We go up to take the photos on the risers, and I get up there and I recognize kind of these two voices talking behind me. I turn around and to my left is Steven Spielberg, and to my right is Martin Scorsese.
Rubbing elbows with industry icons has become somewhat of a habit for the 32-year-old filmmaker. First, Harvey Weinstein bought the film, and then Sean Combs saw it and became an executive producer.
I truly related to the film. It's because the first time I felt defeated really truly in my life was when he got injured in my senior year playing football. I wish I had a coach, like, you know, Coach Bill, that would have believed in me and would have helped to rehabilitate me.
Anybody can be a champ.
If Martin is a champ come Oscar Sunday, he'll make history as the first black filmmaker to win for Best Documentary. But he doesn't want this to overshadow another important point.
This film is 100% a collaboration between myself and my filmmaking partner, Dan Lindsay. So I want to make sure that he gets recognized for being the 10th director of Irish American descent to get to also win an Oscar as well.
There's really nothing else we say except for one thing. Don't quit.
Corrine Winter, CNN, Hollywood.
And so it reminisces of The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock and another football story that was one of those things that just kept you riveted to it. It was a very well-done tale.
Yeah, Undefeated showed at the Toronto Film Festival last September. I missed it, but those friends of mine who saw it were really knocked out by it. They thought it was great. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's up for an Oscar, but I actually think it's not even released yet. I could be wrong on this. I think it's coming out, like, in July or something.
I think you may be right. It's you know, now here's an interesting. Another movie that hasn't been released yet, but already people are being fired over, is, and you're going to help me with it, there's this new Disney movie coming out that is they spent $750 million making. And it's called John Smith or something. It's about this guy fighting in the future.
Oh, no, it's John Carter. It's based on the Edgar Rice Burroughs character.
I had John right. I just wanted to notice that I had half the name right.
No, John Carter, Edgar Rice Burroughs, he created Tarzan, and he wrote a whole bunch of Tarzan novels, but he also wrote, I think, 10 or 11 John Carter novels, and it's about a guy from Earth who goes to Mars. The original book was called John Carter of Mars, and we go back to, I believe they were written in the 30s or something, but Edgar Rice Burroughs is the creator, and I'm sure they're going to be extremely updated because, what he was writing, I don't know if you've seen the preview, but
I've seen some trailers.
It's like Star Wars,
kind of thing.
But yeah, it's a character that was created, 70, 80 years ago by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
According to Newsweek, heads have already rolled at Disney. They've already actually booted people because they just don't expect to make their money back in a million years.
Well, see, they got the double whammy because I think Disney put out this film last year called Mars Needs Moms.
Which was, can I just say this? I watched it with the kids. It was absolutely terrible.
Oh, well, it was like $150 million, something like that, and it grossed like 20 or something like that. So, and then John Carter looks like it's a big production, and Disney's getting behind it. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not sure of the budget, but, I just wonder if people are worn out on sort of the Star Wars-type films.
Funny-looking creatures.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll take off, but it looks like just sort of another film in that sort of similar genre. And if they spent more than $50 million on it, which they probably did, we'll see how it goes.
They spent more than $500 million on it, what they said.
Oh, Bill.
They did. They spent a fortune on this crazy movie.
Oh.
Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how it does. What's the name of John?
I think it's just called John Carter, but the original novel was John Carter of Mars.
Well,
and
just 10 novels. Just go see it to try to save Mickey's hide, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it's the idea they see a set of novels. I mean, there's like 10 or 11 of them. They think, hey, there's a franchise, or if we can nurture this thing, we've got a bunch of novels we can create, make movies out of. So we'll see. Good luck, Disney.
Well, here, Disney, but talk about success. Here you have a boat ride called The Pirates of the Caribbean that becomes a franchise movie thing,
And
it's like, that's pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. There was nothing really to base the movie on except to write new stuff.
Boy, that's a really good point.
That's interesting. Anyway, so John Carter, I don't know how it's going to do, but word has it that it's got problems already.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's go to the – what's out now? Is there a big thing before we get to the Palm Theater? Is there anything that everybody can't wait to see or something they're anticipating? I don't know what there is.
Well, we talked about that new Denzel Washington film called Safe House, and it's actually third week, and I think it's number one, and it's doing quite well.
Okay, good.
But we've got some new things at the Palm that I'm kind of looking forward to.
You have a fun thing going on. It starts tonight, right?
Yeah, year after year after year, and we get into Oscar time, people watch the show or they see the nominations, and there are these categories where there are films that you never see. And we're talking about short films. And so this year, I was able to get the entire five Oscar-nominated animated shorts and the five Oscar-nominated live-action shorts, which means not animated, real people. And I'm really happy to have these because year after year, you know, they say, well, where can I see these films? And if I could see them anywhere, perhaps at the Palm. And over the past few years, there's a distributor who has put these together and made programs out of them, and so I'm hoping that people will come see these wonderful short films. They're all really a kind of a kick. I was just watching them before I came here, and so you can see the Oscar-nominated short films, both animated and live action, at the Palm starting tonight, and we'll run them for a week.
Okay, a week. We got it for a week. All
yep.
Right. Well, that gives you. Well, that's not a huge window. It's probably a lot of fun to see. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's almost like a. You know, we're talking about the San Luis Film Festival. It's a little mini film festival, and you can see these really wonderful animated shorts and the live action Oscar nominees. So then, when you perhaps watch the Oscars or after you see the Oscars and you see little clips of these movies that normally you wouldn't ever see, we've got them this week at the Palm.
You know what's going to be an interesting award to see, I think it is the it was for the best musical, best song in a musical, best score, best song in a cartoon or a feature, whatever, the best song.
Mm-hmm.
And so Madonna won it. The Golden Globe for whatever the thing is she wrote.
Yeah.
And Elton John was none too happy about it, you could tell. He thought
there's...
that his hello from Romeo and Juliet should have knocked that out of the park, but
yeah.
It didn't happen.
A little friction there.
A little friction there. Now they're I read on the gossipy thing here, they say that everybody's all amicable about, you know, best actor this year, everybody's getting along, everything's fine, and you know
Well, I think it's between the guy and the artist, Jean Dujardin and George Clooney. I think it's between those two. Maybe Brad Pitt and Moneyball.
But probably not. I think you're right. And I think that the fact that George Clooney brought a flask with him last year kind of tells you that, you know, he gets a little nervous himself there and seeing what's going on.
Well, I think in the Golden Globes he came up walking on a cane or something,
yeah,
you know. It was pretty funny.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Palm besides that. So you have the Oscar-nominated shorts that's both animated and live,
mm-hmm.
and these are things you don't get to see, and so they're absolutely cool because they're nominated for the Oscars, so they have to be good. And so you have 1 week to see those, and that starts at 4 this afternoon or
we're
tonight?
Showing the live-action shorts every day at 4:15 and
okay.
the animated weekdays at 7 and an additional matinee 1:30 on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
So you have a lot of opportunities to see this collection of short films.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. So we've talked about and said, okay, these are one of the movies that, you know, this could sweep the whole shebang on Sunday, and that's The Artist.
Yeah. Just the groundswell of interest in the film, and it's distributed by the Weinstein Company. I think we talked about before, they kind of know how to nurture these Oscar nominees and really do a great ad campaign. And I do have to say, we're in our sixth week of The Artist, I believe, starting today. And people love it. They come out, they're walking on air, they usually clap at the end of it. They I think people's expectations are a little low. They think, oh, it's a silent movie, you know, And then they come and they really, really enjoy it. So based on the popularity, I think it's going to win.
And you know what's interesting? Newsweek, there's an article about Harvey Weinstein this week, and it talks about his career and how it pinnacled, it fell to the bottom of the heap and then went and has climbed back up, and
mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting profile piece on it. All right, so we have The Artist. We have Albert Nobbs, and this, of course, is with Glenn Close, who's playing a butler, male butler.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Close is such a great actress. Glenn Close and Meryl Streep, they make me nervous because they're so good at what they do. I don't know that people realize how good it is that they're doing it.
They make it look easy.
Yeah, they make it look like, you know, they were made for the part. And I don't care what the part is, it can be totally different each time.
Yes.
But they absolutely live the part, and it's interesting because they're just such great actresses, I think, you know, and are so talented.
Well, with Albert Nobbs, I was glad it got a little notoriety. It was sort of under the radar, and here's Glenn Close playing a man. We've done pretty well with it. I just wanted to hold it over Oscar weekend, and Glenn, I don't think you're going to win. You know, not that you don't deserve it, but I just think, you know, she's kind of the, if she wins, it's the dark horse, I guess. But I'm glad to show it. And we've had a really nice response to the film, so that's why I'm holding it over.
Well, and here's the thing. The Academy Awards are Sundays. If I were you, I'd get yourself in gear. And you got the weekend here until Sunday night at 5. I'd go see the darn thing. All right. And then this new movie that started last week is Pina. I'm saying that right?
Pina.
Pina. I'm sorry. I'm saying it wrong.
It's Pina, Pina. Bausch. She's a choreographer, and this is a documentary. And this documentary is up for an Oscar for Best Documentary. And very progressive, very interesting modern dance. And I'll confess to you, Bill, I mean, we have people coming out of this film, and I had a woman saying, thank you. That was the most amazing, brilliant film I've seen on dance.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, somebody walks out and go, man, I hated that thing. You know? So, yeah, it's kind of a love-hate movie, but we show those all the time.
Yeah, Jim, you're good at that. I appreciate it, to tell you the truth. I think it's really cool. All right, love-hate we got. All right, so that's just a great lineup going on at the Palm this week, and then we got the Academy Awards on Sunday. And so we will all see what we all see, I guess.
Yeah, if you can stick it out, you know, the 3 hours plus, it's kind of a fun show, although, you know, be sure you can take your breaks when the dance numbers start. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's a fun show, but, you know, after the Oscars, there's good stuff to see, and there's a lot of good films coming up in the next few months.
But here's the thing that's interesting. Here's the thing that's interesting right here, is this movie, Pina, is about this dancing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and you know, I think that Dancing with the Stars, as much as I'm embarrassed to say this, almost embarrassed to say, is that I think it's really created a lot of interest in dance, and then to the when you see the professional side of it, not these crazy people that can't dance, but we see the professional side of it, and they have the professional dancers, you know, doing numbers every now and then. It's fascinating how great they are. You know, it seems it's like they're like athletes that have somehow surpassed things that ever happened in the past. You know, they just do things that are different than they were done before, and they're more athletic and more agile and more everything. And it's just it's a fascinating thing to me, the dance thing.
It is. It is.
And I know I really get a kick out of that. All right. Anything else you want to add, sir?
I want to go back to the San Luis Film Festival. I mean, we do have a lot of screenings at the Palm, but it is coming up. And for those of you who may be first-timers, grab one of those passes where you can go and dive in. And it's guaranteed you're going to have some fun, and you're going to run into people going to other movies. Film festivals are a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And I have to tell you, I was reticent years ago to even get involved. I don't know why. I just didn't get involved in it. You know, but then when I did get involved in it, I was just absolutely fascinated by it. And I think you will be, too. Don't forget to pick up a program at the Film Festival office where Davidson's Furniture was across from McClintock's on Hygera, and also at the Palm Theater. And they can just go and grab one, right?
We got a whole bunch of those film festival schedules.
See what's coming up. I thank Jim D. for being here once again on this Friday, and we hope to see you again next Friday,
sir. I'll see you next week. Thanks, Bill.
We'll be talking about those Academy Awards, I guarantee you.
Thanks, Bill.
Yes, sir. All right, and that is all. And so that's all for me today, too. So we will say adieu. Have a fun time with the Academy Awards. Have a great weekend. It's supposed to start out really nice by Monday. Not so nice, but it's supposed to be really nice today, tomorrow. So enjoy, and we'll get together again next Monday at 12 o'clock. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
CBS News.